So we've been doing this whole series, haven't we, about confidence in the gospel. So I'm being obedient and I'm doing as I'm told. Right? Is that right? Do you think that's a good thing?
I'll tell you what.
We're going to have to laugh at you.
You'll never catch on.
No, I do as my title every now and then. I try. Right, so I'm going to be talking about repentance, what we're talking about this morning. I don't know what was on the list. What was on the list? Evil or something, something to do with evil. Yeah. We juggled it round a bit because this is what we're doing this morning. Right, so there's really one verse, really, that we'll refer to some others, but there's really one verse this morning that I want us to get a hold of this morning, which is Matthew 4:17, which is really, really well known. And Jesus has just been baptized and he starts his ministry. Then it says this, it says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So that's what we're going to, that's the foundation of what we're looking at this morning, is these words here. Which are really interesting words, really sort of quite radical words actually, when you start to unpack it a little bit. So we're going to be looking at this whole word repentance and what it means in the context of having confidence in the gospel. Because when you start to unpack it a little bit, it's an interesting phrase, isn't it, to have confidence in the gospel. And what does that actually mean? Well, it means that, you know, we're saying we can have confidence in the gospel. It's something that we can rely on, isn't it? Is what we're saying. We can be confident enough to rely on that message, that it's true and that it actually works. That's what we're saying, isn't it, in this series? That it's true and that it works. And repentance is a massive part of that. And so hopefully I'll be able to draw into that whole thing to do with confidence today and how that actually works out, because the more I looked at it and the more I thought about it, the more I realised it's actually essential when we're talking about confidence in the gospel. It's in fact probably the major plank in what we're talking about. And the first thing I started to think about was this whole message of the gospel, because this word repentance, when we start to look at it more and more, it's not an easy topic, really. The gospel message quite often is presented in a way that is sometimes presented in a way, maybe looking at the issue of love, maybe God's love towards us, faith in God. You know, that is the sort of gospel message we sometimes hear a lot in this country. And that may be because of a cultural thing. You know, we maybe sometimes focus just on belief in God, sometimes having faith in God, because, as I think Adrian spoke on it, didn't he? New atheism. There's a heart that there's not a great deal of faith and belief in God, or it appears to be that way in society. And sometimes we focus on that to get the message of the gospel across. Or we preach the message of love, which is also part of the message of the gospel, and we focus on that, about how God loves everybody and how God wants to reach out to everybody, which are all valid elements of the gospel message. But what I want to talk about this morning, repentance, it's an essential part of the message of the gospel, but the way I look at it is like this. It's like the sharp edge of the gospel message. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning, is this sharp edge that we read hearing what Jesus is saying. Because, yeah, no doubt it is about love, no doubt it is about faith. But also it's this sharp edge that is in the midst of all of that. Because it talks, doesn't it, I think it's Hebrews, it says that the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Which is one of my favourite verses from the whole Bible, because God's word is like that. It cuts very deeply into the hearts of people. So what is repentance? Let's start from the very beginning. What does it actually mean to repent? What am I actually saying? Well, all it literally means is to change one's mind, change one's thinking about something, to change your direction from moving in a westerly direction to an easterly direction, to have a roundabout turn and walk the opposite way. That's all it literally means. It's nothing deep and meaningful. And what Jesus is talking about here, he's talking about that. He's talking about have a change of mind, have a change of direction in your life. That was what the heart of the message was. And he was talking about sinful behaviour, wasn't he? He was saying change your sinful behaviour, change the things that you think, the things that you say. I want you to stop doing that. Have a roundabout turn in what you think, in what you say, in what you do, and start to walk the other way. That was the basic message. Repent of your sins. Turn away from your sins is what the message of the gospel was. And that's a part of the gospel, in my opinion, and in my observation, that we don't always talk about, we don't always particularly focus on that. But nonetheless, it's here. It's written in black and white. And you'll see that in other parts of the New Testament. After Jesus had gone, this message continued. So when you get to Acts 2, you have Peter, who, full of the Holy Spirit, he gets up and he preaches. And it actually says that the people that he preached to were cut to their heart. It says that. What he was saying had an edge to it. Yeah, it was had a power about it that cut into their hearts about their behaviour, about their sinful lives. And they said to him, what should we do? What should we do then? We've heard what you've said. What do we do with the message that you've given us? And he says, repent. Turn away from your sins. Be baptised and receive the Holy Spirit. I'm sure he said a bit more than that. I'm paraphrasing. But that's what he basically said. Turn away from the sin in your life, is what he said. And if you continue to read through Acts, I think it's chapter 17, and you get Paul preaching to the Greeks in Athens, I think it is. And it was a similar thing. It was a similar thing. Paul said, God commands men everywhere to repent. Sounds quite strong, doesn't it? Sounds quite sort of in your face, really. Not quite so pink and fluffy, maybe. I've got to get that word in for you, Mark. It wasn't quite as pink and fluffy, really, was it? He said, God commands men everywhere to repent. That sounds a bit strong for me. Ooh. It's a bit strong for our culture, isn't it? You know, of individualism and everybody's got their rights and... Quite a strong word, really. It commands people everywhere to repent. But nevertheless, that's what it says. That's what it says. So, the gospel is a gospel of love, it's a gospel of faith, but it's also a gospel of repentance. It's that edge in the middle of it all. It's really interesting. But it's also a foundational part of the Christian faith. If you find Hebrews 6:1, it will say... It talks about maturity, doesn't it? And it talks about not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, is what it says. So what it's saying there is repentance is a foundational part of the Christian faith, of the gospel message. It is the undergirding thing in your Christian walk. That is the basis, that is the thing that you build upon. So if you have a beginning in your Christian walk where you don't really repent, and trust me, that does happen. I've been around the Christian block enough times to know that happens. That people proclaim they believe in God, they have a faith, but never actually really repent, never actually get a grip of sin, wrongdoing, heart attitudes in their lives, and after a while it just sort of, I don't know, fall away, disappear. I've seen it so many times. And I think it is to do with this whole thing about repentance. Do people really, truly, when they come to God, turn and face towards him and start walking towards him, start to change their thinking and their attitudes. Do they really come to a place of confessing their sin before God and being really sorry about it? That's what it's saying here. That's what we need to do. Sounds really simple, but that's what the message is. And so it's important to get that foundation in from the very beginning. I can tell you now that when I became a Christian, I changed quite radically, really. And there's a few people in the audience here, in the congregation here, that can tell you that. That I changed quite radically, really, from the person that I was to the person I became. There was a definite, I can only speak for myself, there was a definite change from one person to another. You know, it's probably a bit over the top, maybe, a little bit. I don't know, but, you know. No. I had long hair.
I had hair.
Oh, now look at that. And it's not falling out either. Yeah, so it was sort of like this sort of radical sort of change in a short amount of time. And, yeah, I believe I really did repent of some stuff. I really did say to God, I'm really sorry about that. I'm really ashamed of behaving in that way. And I still am. Do you know that? I look back at things that I've done, and I'm not going to go into detail.
Oh,
I know. You know, I look back, oh my word, how on earth could I have done that? How could I have said that? How could I have thought like that? And you look back and you have a sense of sort of regret and shame and almost like, oh God, how could I have thought that way? How could I behave that way? To me, that's true repentance. You know, I'm still working on other stuff. There's no way that I'm standing here today saying that I'm the finished article, because I'm definitely not that. It's a process. So that is the message of the gospel, and that's what I want us to get a hold of this morning. And I want us to get a hold of something particularly here in Matthew 4:17, which is really, really important. And it's really quite radical, and it's the thing that is life-changing, really. It's this little phrase here, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I've been praying about this week, and I really sense the Holy Spirit speak to me about that little phrase, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, what he's saying here. I'm sure, you know, different versions, it will translate it in different ways. But basically it's saying, look, the kingdom of heaven, this invisible kingdom of God's rule and reign, is near. It's so near, you can touch it. It's like it's just here. It's just like it's there. Here. It's so near, you could grab a hold of it. It's there for everybody, whether you believe or not. It's there. It's like an avalanche, almost. It's like a picture in my mind, like an avalanche piled on top of, I don't know, some sort of barrier, and the pressure's waiting to break in. And if you were to remove that barrier, it would just come, it would come through the, you know, the gap. That's how I perceive it. That's how I sense it is. It's just there, pressing in, waiting to fall upon each and every one of us. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. And that's the sort of sense I get from this, that it's there, ready to break in to each and every person's life. But it's interesting that Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he's saying, it's there. It's you can touch it. You can probably almost feel it and taste it and hear it. But if you want a part of it, if you want to taste it, if you want to feel it, you need to repent, is what he's saying. If you want the experience of God moving powerfully in your life, then you need to repent. That's what he's saying here. So, I want you to go away knowing this. There is a link, okay, between repentance and the kingdom of heaven breaking into your life. The two are linked. I'm going to say it again. The two are linked. Okay? I'll say it again. The two are linked. I don't want to sound patronising, but take that away with you today. If you forget everything else, take that with you. The kingdom of heaven breaking into your life and repentance are linked. Now, something I felt in my heart to say this morning was, that it is possible, okay, for God to radically change your life in a short space of time. I want you to get hold of that. It is possible, because there's so much stuff in this world that can tell us that isn't true. There's so many circumstances that can go on and on and on that tell you that isn't possible. But I want to tell you this morning that it is possible for God to radically change your life around, do powerful things in a short space of time. And that's really important for us to get hold of. I'm not saying that we should live from one amazing transformative experience to another. I'm not saying that, because I know that there's the other side of the coin, where God works on us sort of long term. But I just want you to get hold of it this morning, that God is able to change your life around radically and quickly. He's able to do it. And that only comes through the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, breaking into our lives. What is the kingdom of heaven? It's God's rule and it's God's reign, isn't it? It's the place of what? Liberty. It's the place of peace. It's the place of joy. Yeah, it's the place of healing. Yeah, it's the place of the power of God. They're just a few adjectives that I can think of. I'm sure there's plenty more. Yeah, but it's that place where God is ruling and reigning, where darkness is no longer ruling and reigning, but it's God who is ruling and reigning in your life. It is possible for God to do it. So, quite often we do focus on that part, don't we? And I know there is another part that, yeah, God works on us long term. But I want us to get hold of this today, that God can do it quickly and powerfully. We need to believe that, because we can lose focus of that. So I want to put an image in your mind about what that could look like. So when I've been praying this week, I've had this thought in my mind about repentance is like a channel into our life for God's kingdom. And the only way I can picture that really is the Panama Canal? Or the Suez Canal is a picture of that in my mind. You've got a map of the world, and I'll give you permission to get your mobiles out, everyone, and have a look. You've got South America, yeah, and then you've got this little thin piece of land called Central America that connects to North America. Is that clear to everybody? Everybody can see that in their mind? Okay, in the middle of that Central America is a country called Panama. Okay, at the narrowest point, I think it's 77 miles. Okay, on one side of Panama, you've got what ocean?
Pacific.
Okay, that's the other side. Yeah, the Pacific. And then the other side, you've got the Atlantic. So, to get from the Atlantic to Pacific, what do you have to do? You have to go all the way around, don't you? You have to go all the way around the, I don't know what's that dangerous bit at the bottom called? Yeah, it's not good. You have to go all the way around the coast of Brazil, all the way along Argentina, around the Falkland Islands, up the coast of Chile, to get to the other side of Panama. Okay, but there's this amazing thing called the Panama Canal. Okay, which is a 77-mile long canal that connects the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific, or vice versa. I'm thinking Atlantic first for some reason.
Alphabetically.
It's amazing, because you don't have to travel thousands of miles anymore. I don't know when it was built. I'm sure somebody knows here. Maybe the font of all use of information. Andrew might know, I don't know. But instead of going thousands of miles, you can travel 77 miles via that canal to get from one place to the other. And in my mind, that's a picture of repentance. I think you've also got it with the Suez Canal, which takes you from the Mediterranean to the Red Sea. Okay, which, if you were to go around Africa, I don't know how many thousands of miles that is, but Africa is very big apparently. So I think that would take you quite a while. But I just want you to get this picture. Okay, it's almost like what I'm not selling to you is that there's a shortcut here for your life necessarily, and we can just, you know, come on, God, work in me, and everything's going to be wonderfully sorted, just like that. That's not what I'm selling to you this morning. What I'm saying to you is this: is that instead of going through all of the pain and all of the hurt of trying to resist God, which is quite often is what we do, and trying to work out in our own strength and trying to come out with the answers, sometimes we just need to repent and ask God for forgiveness. And it's just like going from A to B, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into God's kingdom. And sometimes that's all that's required, and that will save a lot of hurt and a lot of heartache and a lot of trying to work it out in your own strength. Sometimes we just need to be humble and ask God for forgiveness and say, you know, God, I got it wrong. I haven't got the answers. I'm going to repent. I'm going to change my thinking. I'm going to change my direction. I don't have all the answers. I don't have maybe the strength to, you know, to make the next step. Okay? But, you know, God will give you the strength if that's your heart attitude. So, you know, some of those places on that route what I've described to you are dangerous as well. I think we've said, what, the Cape of Good Hope, and Cape Horn's the other one, isn't it? Some of those places are dangerous. People have lost their lives navigating those seas, haven't they? You know, and sometimes trying to do it in our own strength is dangerous as well, isn't it? In life, we can try that. We can try and work it out. But ultimately, we could lose our faith in God. We can get ourselves in difficulty and think, do you know what, Lord, this isn't working. I'm just going to throw the towel in. I've seen it. I've seen it time and time again. Do you know what? Try repentance. It's a lot quicker. It might be a bit painful, actually. Yeah, it might be a bit painful. It might be a bit difficult. It might be a bit humbling. But better to do that than to go the long, dangerous route. A lot of us do take the long, dangerous route, and eventually we do make it, don't we? And we realise, oh yeah, I need to repent. I need to confess my sin and get myself right with God. But we've gone the long way round to get there. Mm. Who's done that?
I've done that.
Mm-hmm. We've all done that, haven't we? Mm-hmm. Take the shorter route if you can. If you can, take the shorter route. Right, so there's a couple of other little things. What time did I start? Because I'm trying to stick to the half hour.
7 o'clock.
What time did I start? I can't believe that's gone so quickly. Right, okay, I'm going to speed up. I'm going to speak double quick.
You're going to take the canal rather than
the sea. Yeah, so I'm going to take the canal now. Rather than the long way around.
More dangerous route.
Right, okay. So, the other little thing I want us to get hold of this morning is that God doesn't change. Okay? God is not the one that has to change. It's us that has to do the changing. Okay? God is always going to be the same. God isn't changing his standards. God is not going to change his goalposts. I know we live in a world, well, in my world where I work, the goalposts are constantly changing. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. You know, I come into work one day, it's this thing in place, and then the next day it's changed. God isn't like that. Okay? God is not going to change. And, you know, read an interesting story in the book of Numbers, which I'm not going to go into in depth, but it's about this chap called Balaam. Numbers 23 it is, where a king called Balak says, right, go and curse the people of Israel. I want you to go and curse them for me. And he tries to go and do that, but God basically says, no, I want you to bless them. Balak's not very happy. He says, go to another mountain, curse them. He ends up blessing them. Balak gets really angry. And basically, Balaam says, look, I can only speak out what God has put in my heart to speak. And God has told me that they're going to be blessed. And he's not going to change his mind. In Numbers 23:19, it says, this is what Balaam says. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. So what are we saying there? All he's saying is, when God set his mind to something, he's not going to change. With the case of blessing or cursing Israel, he said, I'm going to bless Israel. I'm not going to change my mind. Balaam thought, okay, I'm not going to fight against you, Lord. And we should be of that mind, not to fight against God. God is not going to change. Sometimes we think, well, you know, Lord, this is my life. I'll do what I want to do. That's fine. God's still not going to change. Lord, look at society. Everyone else is doing it. God's not going to change. And we need to resolve that within ourselves, really. It's either we change with the will of God, or we dig our heels in and sort of lose that connection with God, because that's ultimately what happens. If we don't change, we don't have a heart to keep repenting, because repentance is a lifelong thing. Because the more you know God, some of the outside stuff that people see may go, but then it becomes deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
You know, it's an ongoing process. And God is leading us more and more into him, and as he does that, we see how sort of more and more sinful we are in different ways. Might not be so obvious, but it's still sinful. So we need to acknowledge, yeah, okay, Lord, you're not going to change. I'm going to go with what you're saying. I said to Dad, I will stick to half an hour. It's really difficult, isn't it, Mark?
It's very difficult, Dad.
Yes. Very difficult to stick to half an hour, so I'm cutting this down.
Keep going.
Right, so okay, how do we repent? Well, it's really easy, actually. How do we repent? It's easy. First of all, you acknowledge that there is sin in your life. Because if you don't, then really it's a non-starter. If you don't think, there isn't any sin, well, you might as well pack it in then. I can't see every sin in my life. I'm not always aware of it. But I'm going to say to you now, I know there's stuff there that I don't know about. Well, you could say, well, how can you say that? Well, I just know because I know from experience that there's stuff there. So we have to acknowledge to God that there is sin in our life. There is always going to be sin there. And then, really, it's about confessing that out. Speaking it out to God. And the Bible says to other people as well, confess your sins to one another. It's not always very easy to do that, is it? Difficult to do that. But it's easier to do it to God. Definitely easier to do it to God. So, if you want a starting place, do it to God. And then maybe, at a later date, you can speak to somebody, whatever. That's your starting place, confession. I feel like God's been speaking to me about confession. There's a battle in the heavenly places for what comes out of your mouth. It's really important. And that's a theme that I'm going to get the opportunity and come back to time and time again. The battle is for what comes out of your mouth, because that is what shapes you as a person and things around you. Okay? And this is part of our confession. Is repentance, acknowledging our sin to God. That is part of our confession. It's a really important part of our confession. Our confession is all sorts of stuff, everything from prayer, just to encouraging people, to speaking prophetically, our conversations, etc., etc. They're all our confession, okay, and this is part of it. It's a segment of what comes out of our mouth. So if you don't do it as a practice, then my urge to you this morning is, practice repentance, speaking out those things that you know you do wrong on a daily basis, or think, or say. Just make a practice there and then. Okay, God, I hold my hands up. I shouldn't be thinking that. I shouldn't be saying that. I shouldn't be doing that. I forgive that person. Yeah? I shouldn't have thought that. I'm sorry. And then, try and act differently. Try and do what you should be doing. That's easier said than done, isn't it? And we fail sometimes, don't we? But don't give up. Keep doing it. allow other people to encourage you. Change is a slow process sometimes. Sometimes it's quicker. But don't be discouraged. Keep doing it. Keep confessing, asking God to cleanse you, making a choice to do something different. That's the encouragement this morning. Yeah, it wasn't too bad. So time limits is quick. Right, so that's it really. I think it's in a nutshell. You can do it. You know, God can work in you through repentance. Yeah, it's not just a message for the unsaved or those that don't believe. It's not just a message for those people. It's for us as well. It's not just a message for the world. It's a message for the church as well. So Lord, we thank you. Help us to respond to your word this morning. Help us to have open hearts. Help us to have humility, Lord. Lord, often we fight against you. And I just pray that, you'd help us to just soften up and just be open to you and listen to what you say, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that you would show us areas of sin in our heart, in our minds, in our actions, and in our words. And just help us, Lord, to bring those things to you, to confess those things out, and to make a choice about how to live differently. Yeah, we give those things into your hands. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would show us those things. Amen.
Amen.
About 35 minutes.
Very good. That's a good message this morning, and it isn't something probably that we go straight to when we think of the gospel, but Jesus did, didn't he? And I think what Dan's communicating to us this morning is that God has a gift for you. He has a gift for you, and that gift for you is repentance. The gift is the opportunity for all that rubbish that you feel in your heart to be done away with by saying, God, I'm sorry. And John spoke to us just a couple of weeks ago about there is no condemnation, didn't he? So we need to overlay these two words together. They lie together. Because the whole point of repentance is that God wants to do something in your life. He wants to take it away. That's his gift. And that's why it's a constant daily opportunity that God gives us, isn't it? Sorry again today, God. And you might feel like this morning there is something, I'm still on that journey. I'm still on this stormy sea of trying to get around whatever it is, Cape of Good Hope or something, because I've repented of all sorts of things, but there is one thing that I know I just keep coming back to. I know I've never come to God and said, I am sorry. And I do want you to do something in my life. But do you know what the good news of what Dan said this morning is? That God's just waiting for that. He's like pressing in on you, not in a bad way, but in an opportunity, desperate to do something in your life. And at the moment, if we don't just come to God and go, I need you, I've blown it again, God goes, now I'm ready. Now I can do something. Because he wants to do that in our lives. And it's a wonderful thing. So there's a gift. Repentance is a gift that he wants you to access this morning. And in your life. Make it a habit. That's really good, I think. Dan says that. It's a daily activity. And Peter says, doesn't he? He says, when Jesus washes his feet. Just thinking about that at the end there. And he says, Jesus, don't wash my feet. I should be washing your feet. And Jesus says, no. No, I need to wash your feet. And Peter says, well, wash all of me then. And he goes, Jesus says, no, calm down. If you've been baptized, if you like, let's translate it. If you've had a bath, you don't need a bath again. You just need to wash the feet. And so there's this sense with Peter that he's saying, when we come to God with that big moment of going, yes, God, I need you in your life. And Dan saying this big new man moment that Dan had as he repents to God. That's like having a bath. But actually, every day in our life, we pick up stuff. We walk around, we have dust on our feet. Sometimes those are big things, sometimes those are small things, but the same gift comes to us, doesn't it? And I want us to respond to that. Val, I don't know if you could lead us in a song. But I just want us to hear and take the opportunity this morning to say, yes, God, There are things I'm sorry for, and I turn. And I think, Dave, maybe, you know, I don't know if you want to say something now about what you were saying to me or anything or something. But
yeah.
In a minute, okay. So let's just stand and sing together and come to God and take the opportunity of what God's gift is to you this morning to come to Him again. There's something, you know, there's something in your head, immediately you go, boom, that's it. And I want to encourage you to name it before God. And if you're really brave, as Dan said, grab someone and just name it before them. Doesn't matter if it's big or small, you might want to say, I just want to pray, would you pray with me about this? I'm struggling to feel God's forgiveness in my life over this. It's much better when someone else can say it to you and say, yes, you repent. So just maybe you want to repeat this in your heart, maybe you just want to say your own prayer. Let's just take an opportunity to access all this grace that God's pressing in on us, ready for us. And so, Father, we come to you today aware of where we have not followed your plan completely in our lives. We're aware of the things that we've thought, the things that we've said, and the things that we've done have not been your plan for us and others. And in that, Lord, we know that we've damaged our relationship with you, we've damaged our relationship with others, and we've damaged our relationship with ourselves. And so we say that we're sorry for that today. We repent of those things where we've done them. We humble ourselves before you and say we're not perfect. And that you have a better plan for us. So we're sorry. And we come today to the cross of Jesus, where we know, Jesus, that you took each of those things upon yourself. And that you've dealt with them. You've removed them. And as we come to you today, repenting of them, we thank you that you right now, Father God, are removing those things from our life. The guilt, the shame, the condemnation. Because we're at the cross, you can take each one of those things away. And so, we give them to you, Jesus, today as we say sorry. We're grateful for your love and your sacrifice in our lives. As we do that, we just open the door on that. Pressing in of the kingdom. As we give up our way of doing things and turn to your way, Jesus, we open the door to your kingdom, love, grace, power, strength, provision into our lives again. So we receive that today. We thank you as we forget, confess our sins, you are faithful to forgive us our sins and redeem us from all unrighteousness and we. Thank you. We speak that over each other today as we come to you and we receive your grace again. We receive your love again. We receive your cleansing again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your love floods us and your grace fills us. And you lift our eyes to you and you restore us. You restore us today. You restore us today. You put us back in the place today where we've kind of taken a step off. You put us back in that place again with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we turn to you again. We receive your love, your forgiveness, and your grace in our lives. The new future that you bring to us in Jesus' name. We thank you.
The grace of God is poured out in our lives daily. That allows us to come to Him every day, isn't it, and repent. And I felt, as Maddie was sharing, I was thinking the same as you, but I hadn't got to where you expressed it. But this declaration of God's grace and goodness and that light that He wants, and love and grace and forgiveness, He wants to pour into our life every day. And I was taken to one verse in Galatians 5:16. Where Paul is talking about the acts of the sinful nature, it's obvious. John spoke the other week about no condemnation. Paul's going, the things I want to do, I don't do them. The things I want to do, I don't do them. And you can sense the frustration in Paul. And it's obvious, isn't it? We know. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why didn't I say that? We call it all sorts of things, but it's sin, isn't it? And as Dan said, the Holy Spirit, he gently reminds us of our sin. But he also tells us to sort it out. But I just sense God saying, don't go around thinking, oh, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Oh, I'm a sinner. Paul says, so I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. That's the secret. If there's a secret, it's living by the Spirit every day. Mm. Coming to God and saying, God, I cannot live this Christian life. But you, your power in me is all I need for today. Your grace and your mercy is all I need. God, I come. I give myself to you today. I dedicate today to you. I dedicate tomorrow to you. But right now, Lord, I dedicate this next 10 minutes. Living by the Spirit is not thinking about the future. It's about living in the now. Mm. Living by the Spirit hourly. Yeah. We're not trying to be good. Paul also speaks about we're being transformed by the Holy Spirit. We don't transform ourselves. The Holy Spirit at work in us as we seek to surrender to Him each day. Live by the Spirit. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. Surrendering ourselves to Him. Every minute of every day. And when we fail, and we do fail, when God reveals something to us, Dan has so ably explained, come and repent. I'm sorry, God. Turn away. Live by the Spirit. Focus on God. God doesn't want us to be worried and living a life of, oh, failed again. No, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Amen. 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 Father, we come and we thank you for the freedom we have in Jesus. Yeah. Thank you for your word that has come to us this morning powerfully like that sword. Lord, help us to respond to your word each day, to come and surrender to you each day. Mm. And Father, thank you that your grace is sufficient each day for us. Help us to live in freedom of all that you achieved on the cross at Calvary. Thank you that mercy was great and grace was free. Mm-hmm. And that we are on the inside of your grace, Father. Yeah. Yeah. So we thank you for today. Thank you for one another. Thank you for your word. Yeah. Continue your work of transforming us. Yeah. Make us more like Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.